This time, we thank you, Lord God, for this house and the covering and the protection that you've given us here. And we thank you for your word that encourages us to be one with each other and one with the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit as you are. We bless you. Bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, I was in a room, and often, as is the case, I'm the one observing, and I hear a conversation, and immediately I feel tension, because the conversation has to do with the body of Christ and what's not working well, and whose fault it is. And my thought was, oh, Lord, I don't want to be here. I don't want to hear this, and I don't want to be a part of it. And one of the healthiest things I heard someone say was, if there's ever a situation where there's conversation that's going to bring strife, discord, disunity, I don't want to participate in it. So basically, they articulated what I was feeling. And because those kind of things tend to separate the church. And I really believe in my heart of hearts that if ever the body of Christ needs to be united, it's now. And what the enemy would try to do is destroy us from within. I remember years ago, this was before I moved to Raleigh, in the south side of Richmond, the Muslims kind of moved in and they started to take over. And initially, they did a lot of good works. I mean, they added businesses to the community. They were restoring buildings. They were selling their little meat pies and newspapers and, you know, trying to convert people to their way of thinking. But when I drive, it's this the primary community, if you know Richmond, is it's in South Richmond. There's an area called Hull Street. And it was a thriving African-American community, but because, I guess, of economics, it had gone down, and it looked like they were coming to build it up. Well, if you drive through that area today, it's worse than it was before they came. And I heard one of my leaders say, if you want something destroyed, destroy it from the inside out. And that's what happened. You know, someone comes in, they get a big head, they make a little money, and then it becomes about me and not about us. And my fear is, and concern is, that that could easily happen in the body of Christ if we're not careful. So I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I was having a time of devotion. And this woman, her name is Janice Moore, she wrote this particular devotional on the power of unity. And when I read it, I thought, you know, this speaks to what I'm sensing. And so I wanted to share that with you today. Jesus says in your outline there, I and the Father are one. And in the Amplified Bible, it says, in essence and nature. God created the idea of oneness, not isolation, not disconnect or separate us from one another. He doesn't want us to be separated from the one from the other. But for us to come together, and the only two fill-ins for this class are in harmony and in unity. And I think about that song we sang in the Christian community, we say we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and they'll know what we are Christians by our love. But some of the greatest offenses that some of us have experienced have come from people in the church. And some of the most unforgiveness that I've heard sometimes and seen, it came from people in the church. And then they leave and they move on, and it shouldn't be that way. And it grieves my heart, and I'm sure it grieves the heart of God. He wants us to become one with him. Last night, Deb and I were watching, I think we watched the first two shows of season three of The Chosen. And I tell you, you know how you get a mental image. I know as a girl I had a mental image of what Jesus was like. And the gentleman that plays Jesus is probably the most compassionate, kind, gentle, loving person that we could see an example of. And toward the end of the second episode, he calls his disciples together and he tells them, I'm sending you out two by two. And he sends them north, south, east, and west. And, you know, they're looking at each other kind of perplexed. And they say, you're sending us? And he even tells them that in order to be in the kingdom, you have to give up your life. You have to give up everything. And, you know, even they, you know, you could see the characters, you know, they were perplexed. Lord, what does that mean? I think it was Peter. I'm not sure if I know all the characters, but I think it was Peter. And, you know, he wanted to be with his wife. Another one wanted to get married. And God was saying, you know, no, I'm sending you out two by two. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to tell people that the kingdom of God has come. You're going to open the eyes of the blind. You're going to see the lame walk. You're going to do great healings. And he says, and this will continue until the end of the earth, right? So that means us, right? And we can't do that if we're not in unity and oneness. Being in oneness with God is a thing of beauty. It means being intentional and unified, and it's extremely powerful. It requires agreement, connection, cohesiveness, and harmony. And it can create miraculous results. And so I have a few illustrations of unity and oneness. I'm going to ask you if you would like to add any to these. Pastor Kimberly, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, she talked about her fascination and her son's fascination with watching ants. And my first illustration is ants working as a team. And if you've ever watched them, they work together. And I think, you know, like when I've watched them, I don't particularly like ants though, but you know, they're okay. God made them. like I've seen them, you know, and it says here, they work in a solidary form. You'll see a group, and they're and it's amazing because they can carry a crumb that's almost twice their size, and you'll see a row of them going toward the hive, and a row going back in a different direction. I mean, it's a straight line, and it's perfection. It's systematic. They work together, and she even shared with us how they work in the hive. They are tunneling, some carrying food, and others looking for food. Another example of oneness or unity are sports teams. And I can't remember the young man's name, but remember the one recently who He had cardiac arrest. What's his name? Hamlin. I don't know why that particular day I had the news on, because I think I had stopped watching news altogether, because every time I did, it would just make me, I don't know if it made me upset, sad. It just caused emotion that I didn't want to feel, so I just cut the news off altogether. But that particular day that incident happened, I had the news on. And I watched those young men as they were watching what was going on with him come together in oneness. And it wasn't just his team. It was the opposition team. I saw young men crying. I saw young men on their knees. I saw young men rubbing their head, you know, with great compassion for him. I mean, he's only, what, 24 years old. And I began to pray for him, and I, you know, heard the news commentator say, you know, his mother was there. And I'm thinking, this young man must have a praying mother and probably a praying grandma, you know, because he's been released from the hospital. I don't know exactly how he's doing, but, you know, his heart stopped, you know, and they knew that it was serious. And all of those young men rallied around him. They even, on national TV, they showed this, the team covering him with their bodies, you know, drawing a barrier around him to show, you know, we see this, but we don't want everybody else to see this, and we don't want him to, I don't know what they were thinking, but it was like they were covering him. And I thought, how many times in my life experience have I seen that in the body of Christ, where someone is injured or they fall, and we as the church cover them. We don't expose them, but we cover them. We pray for them. You know, we bandage the wound. And that's what should be happening. You know, we're praying for them. We're interceding for them. We pray for them like we would want to be prayed for. That's walking in oneness and unity. It says here, sports teams have many moving parts. They work together effectively to accomplish goals. Players work together in oneness to get a victory. Always, you know, there's a superstar. You know, we have superstars even in the ministry, you know. They're people, because we're not all the same. We do different things. We have different callings. So when I say superstar, I don't mean you're bigger or better than someone else, but your calling is different, right? So you may be more visible. You may be more vocal. But I like what it says here. Players work together in oneness to get a victory. Of course, they're superstars. But the true superstar player thoughtfully and unselfishly and will even forfeit an opportunity to shine to give the team a sure score. How do we do that in the church? You know, do we take credit for anything? Well, I prayed and that happened. Well, I'm sure everybody prayed. It's not just, you know, we focus sometimes. I won't say we. I focus too much sometimes on myself and what I think my abilities are, and what I do. I can't speak for anybody else. And the Lord has showed me, no, it's a team. You know, we are in this together, you know, and nobody's greater than anybody else. You may have a different calling, a different title, but at the end of the day, we are all going to stand before the Lord Jesus and give account, right? And he's not going to say, well, you were this person or you were that. And one of the scenes in that Chosen last night is when he talked to, I think it was Little James. And the character that portrayed Little James, he had something was wrong with his leg. And he walked with, a cane or, you know, the shepherd's rod, staff, thank you, with a staff. And he was disqualifying himself, because Jesus was going to send him out. I think he sent Little James and Big James together. And he's going, Lord, how am I supposed to heal people and I'm not healed? And Jesus said to him, what a great testimony you'll have because of people being healed and you have not received your healing. He told him at the end, he said, you will be healed. So God's going to use whatever that affliction is. And I think the other thing it said to me is we can't use our weaknesses or our disabilities as an excuse not to do what Jesus has called us to. And I've used this woman a lot, Johnny Erickson Tada, you know, injured 16 or 17 years old. But that woman has touched more lives with her disability because she sold out to the Lord, you know? And Jesus was saying to him, in the scheme of things, that disability doesn't matter. What matters is if you do what I call you to do, you know? So we may have people among us who have impairments, but we want to find their gifts. We want to know their calling and encourage them to go for the Lord with all they have. You know, there's no big, you know, I or little I in the kingdom. Another example are synchronized swimmers or dancers. Now, I haven't seen very many, most of the synchronized swimmers I've seen, they've been in television. I've never seen actually a display of swimmers, but isn't it amazing how they work together, they move together? I remember years ago, I went to New York City, and I think it was Radio City Hall, Music Hall, yeah, the Rockettes, and I was amazed at those ladies and how they were amazing. I mean, in step, in sync, together, you know? But it took coordination. It took oneness. And I don't know what would happen if one of them made a mistake. If they did, I didn't see it. They covered it very well, you know? And that's how we have to be. We have to be synchronized, you know, together, willing, if someone even makes a misstep, don't point that out to them. Encourage them to keep going, you know, keep going. It says here, it's so amazing to see swimmers or dancers working together in oneness and harmony. It's an awe-inspiring, glorious, and extremely powerful. I remember when I went and I saw those dancers, I was just mesmerized. How do they do that? And there's this form, I forget what it's called, there's this form of dancing, I want to say it's shag dancing, and they dance really fast. It's almost like tap and ballet kind of mixed together, and they sometimes dance in groups, and it's like, how do they keep step? How can human feet move that fast and be coordinated? You know? Yeah. The step dancing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of dancing. Yeah. And that's how we should be in the body of a Christ, where we're so tight, so synchronized, so in order that we're not missing a step, you know, whatever the beat is, you know, we're together. We are one. Yes. Yeah. Pastor Tim says it makes the world look in wonder and awe at us. And remember, Jesus said, I and the Father are one in essence and nature. And his desire is that we be one with him. Amen. Marriage is another example. It flourishes and grows when couples are on the same page and in oneness. And even though the world has tried to make a counterfeit of that and make it seem like it works, It doesn't work the same as what God ordained, a man and a woman, you know? Because what we see is the result of it in the children, in our society, you know? And the relationships are stronger when there's unity and people work together. You know, when there's discord, things don't work very well. When there's a big I and a little I, things don't work as well. Even the scripture tells us, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but are united as one flesh. That's in Mark 10:8. Oneness is so incredibly effective and works so well in most cases, especially if it's used with godly intent. Sadly, we know that it can work in the converse as well. And a good example of that we see in Genesis 11:5-7. The scripture's there. It says, "Now the Lord came down to see the city, and now, you know, the people were one in harmony and unity, and it made them unstoppable." And see, in a way, the world takes that and say, you know, well, we can redefine marriage. We can say, I even heard this, there's a prophetic voice out there. It's an Antichrist prophetic voice. I actually heard this guy say, "We don't need God. If we want rain, we can make rain. We know how to do that." You know, that's the voice of the Antichrist that's out there. But we know as Christians, we can't do anything without him. And it has nothing to do with us. It's all about him. All about him. And that's what makes us one. The people were one in harmony and unity, and it made them unstoppable. God said that nothing they do will be impossible. However, their intent was that of pride and rebellion. So he put a stop to it by confusing and mixing up their language so they could not understand each other. He took away their oneness. Wow. There are so many more examples that hone in on the point of the power of oneness. It is a principle that encompasses many of the fruit of the Spirit. And we all know that. I mean, I was thinking about this, even in terms of oneness, when we think about the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians, when we think about, you know, in Corinthians where we see the five, in Romans where we see the fivefold ministry, you know, they have to work together to be one and to complete the work that God intended for us to complete. So I'm just going to pause here for a minute. Any other examples or anyone want to share about oneness? Where have you seen it operate? Brother Gary?
There was a village in, I don't know, somewhere in the Middle East that the whole village came to Christ. And there was another village not too far from them that were very, very militant Muslims. And they came to that village, and they singled out a young man, and they dragged him out and beat him up and said, "You have to renounce Christ." And he says, "Jesus Christ is Lord." And then they did even worse to him. And he still stood up and witnessed to Jesus Christ being Lord. And then they cut off his arm, and he still stood up and said, "Jesus Christ is Lord." And then they killed him. Now, the government heard about all this and put an absolute ban around the Muslim village. They couldn't have any commerce. Nobody could come and go. You know, it just literally gave them a death sentence. And the Christian village would break through that and feed and help these starving, bitter enemies. And that whole village came to Christ. So oneness in him can do just unbelievably amazing things beyond what we think would ever be possible to do. I don't know, that one kind of sunk in, but I've seen that kind of hate in the world, and I'm glad it hasn't been directed at me. I don't know if I could stand up to have my arm cut off and say, Lord, you're Lord, and then let him cut my neck off, you know.
Anybody else? Pastor Hina.
When you were thinking about talking about unity, I was thinking about an orchestra and also the musicians, but especially when musicians are together, we have to be of the same tempo, and the musicians, they have to be in harmony, but they have to be in harmony with one another.
That's so good. I can remember going to a production of the Nutcracker, you know, at the Memorial Auditorium, and the orchestra would be, you know, they'd be warming up for the performance, and it just, you would hear all these weird sounds because the instruments were playing individually, but when they came together and blended the sounds of the instruments, it was beautiful. Yeah, amen.
Oh, when I was on, I think it was Andrew Walmack's website this morning, they had a portion of someone talking to Benny Hinn. I hope I'm saying this right. And he said when the Jewish people came back in 1948 to Israel, they were from many nations and of many languages. Mm-hmm. And one man had to say, you know, we're going to have to all speak if we're going to make it as a nation. We've got to all speak the same language, and had everyone do the Hebrew, which before, I guess, was only spoken in the temple by the muckety-mucks. I didn't know that. I thought maybe Jesus spoke Hebrew. But they said at that time people spoke Aramaic. Or Greek, and Benny Hinn said, I can see that, he said, because when I came to America, I could speak Aramaic, French, and maybe Greek. I don't know what he was taught where he was, but he said, do my children speak that? No. Do my grandchildren? No. He said, you'll lose a language in one generation. He said, so it's a miracle that you can only be attributed to really God the Father, that all these people who came from how many places learned and then passed down one language so that they could be one nation.
I always like to read John 17. Mm-hmm. Jesus really talks about unity between him and the Father. Mm-hmm. And then he wanted that unity for us to be in him. Mm-hmm. So that's really us.
Yeah,
very
good.
Touching.
I was thinking too when I went to Germany, we didn't. I had taken German when I was in high school. I didn't speak it fluently, but I could understand. But the greatest blessing was when we got together with the YWAM group for praise and worship, because we were singing the same songs, you know, the same melody. The Germans would sing it in German. We would sing it in English, but the Spirit of God was one. And so the voice that went to the Lord was one voice. That's unity. I've seen that in the Latino community as well, because I didn't know this, but there are many dialects. So even though you may be Latino, you may not, because you have people from El Salvador, Nicaragua, I can't think of all the countries. But they don't all speak the same dialect. But when we are in church together and we praise together, it's one voice. The praise, the Spirit of God makes us one. Amen. Isn't that good? Yeah, yeah. And I believe that that's what the Lord wants for his church. And so if there's anything that ever comes up that even sounds like division, strife, you know, even offense, we need to correct it, because it opens the door for the enemy to come in and widen that gap, and then we start finding fault with one another. And I don't believe that's what God wants of us. And particularly now, it's so important that we are one. Amen? We may have different doctrines and belief, but the root of it is we know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Amen. I'm just going to read this last little paragraph. Jesus knows the power of oneness. He wants us to be one with him so the world will believe in him. He was so connected to the Father that he knew God's will and expressed it in the following scripture, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one with us so that the world may believe without any doubt that you sent me. And that's John 17:21. And I have a declaration for you, if you'll stand with me and we can read this together. Okay. You ready? Lord, I pray that we become intentional in our agreement with you and your word. Let us be one with you as you and the Father are one. Lord, unify your people so that our oneness will cause the world to believe and come together. Take away division, barriers, deception, and anything that separates us from one another, and most of all, from being one with you. Amen. God bless you.